Would you open to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew? Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Good to see you. And we trust that God is a blessing and God is leading and God is working in your life and will encourage us this morning. It's not the holly or the mistletoe, all the shoppers on the go. It's not the sleigh rides in the snow or tying ribbons in a bow. Although it's fun, it's not the tree. With all the colored lights I see, not the nutmeg or nutcracker sweet, chestnuts roasting on a Yule log's heat. It's sure not Santa or silly things, but something else God's Spirit brings, a birth that heralds salvation's plan. The Son of God became the Son of Man, and with that comes the peace I find. There still is hope for all mankind. The world is in desperate need of Christmas. Not the Christmas of hype, but the Christmas of hope. Not the Christmas of Black Fridays and shopping malls or decking halls or jingle bells or North Pole spells and Santa Claus. It needs a Christmas filled with wise men. We seem to have so few of them these days. We need a Christmas with angels and messengers bringing good news from heaven. And now with the internet, we have bad news 24 hours a day. We need one of those that have less Herods and more heralds, more shepherds who have found peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We need a Christmas with less ribbons and more reflection, with less fantasy and more faith. We need less dreaming about sugar plums and iPhones and Elmos and eggnogs and more meditation on the incarnation of God and the destination of man. We need more humble stables than jewels, mink coats, and sables. We need a Christmas of God trading places and our learning what grace is. We need a Christmas that traces footsteps from the cradle to the cross. We need a Christmas that sends the Magi home a different way than the one in which they came. The world needs to know that Jesus did not come to create another religion. He came to save us from our sin. And that before we change the without, we must allow him to change the within. The world needs Jesus more than anything. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. If ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I can no longer see the clock. And so I have to, I can barely see that. I can barely see that. And so pray for me. That's why Yvette is coming with me every Sunday. She tells me when to turn. And I try to get coordinated with that. The context of this verse, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man? I want to talk about gifts this morning. And what man is there of you whom, if his son ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will give him a scorpion? Whoa! If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more does your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Father, I pray you'd bless us during these minutes, that we would consider how wonderful, wonderful the gift of the Lord Jesus is to the whole world, and then especially to us, as it changed our life. And we pray that we would be able to share with others during this season that yes, Jesus is the reason. Help us, Lord, to be lights in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an attack on Christianity and there's an attack on Western civilization like never before. The last time I went to Brooklyn to speak, I went to the old neighborhood, and there the whole avenue was changed with the mosques and people walking around with burqas, and it was like we were in Morocco or somewhere. It was unbelievable. And now we're hearing. Western civilization is evil, and Christianity is a part of the problem. And I would just like to remind you all that regardless of secular humanists and woke people and politically motivated individuals, or money-motivated individuals, that this Christmas is the Christmas of 2025 A.D. Jesus Christ, born into the world, changed everything. So much so that even my Muslim neighbor in Brooklyn there has to admit that it's 2025, Jesus' birthday. Everything is B.C. or A.D. Jesus changed the calendar. Jesus changed history. Jesus changed your heart and my heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So much so that God allowed us to start all over when Jesus came. And now it's 2025, marked from the birth of the Lord Jesus into this world. We're all has received the gift, but they've not accepted it. And it's been sitting for some all their life. For 21 years, it was there in the back under the tree. And finally, one day when the Spirit of God woke me up and allowed me to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and I began to look for a remedy, I heard the good news that the angels proclaimed on Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And the Holy Spirit pointed me to the gift. And it was almost as if I heard God say, "It's for you." And I thought about this gift. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, you are probably already purchased all the gifts for your children, grandchildren. But if you've not, I want to talk a little bit about finding the perfect gift. You, being evil, know how to give good gifts. You wouldn't give your son a stone if you knew he really wanted some bread. If you wanted a fish, you wouldn't give him a scorpion. God wants to give us good gifts. Well, what's the perfect gift like? Well, if you're going to get a gift and you want it to be a perfect gift, number one, it has to have what we call the wow factor. Because when your grandson or granddaughter opens it up and there you are, and they're ripping the paper off and the ribbons, right? You're watching their face. You're not watching the ribbons. You want to see what's the impact of this gift. Is it a perfect gift? And what you want is the wow factor. And they look around at their brother and their sister and they go, "Wow, that's a perfect gift." And if they don't, well, you know, how many pairs of socks did you get in the last 80 years? How many ties? I had a friend that confided in me. We were talking about gifts. He told me he got a tie for Christmas. A friend gave him a tie for Christmas. It had a gravy stain on it. you want it to be a wow. And if it doesn't reach that level, then you didn't quite make it. The second thing is you want a now factor. After the wow factor, you need the now factor. If you say, well, they open up the gift, and you say, well, you know, you have to wait 10 years before you can use it. Oh, thanks a lot, Dad. Appreciate it. Thank you. No, now. They want to take it and run it around the floor in the living room. They want to set up the choo-choo train and see the smoke come out. They want to use it now. You're getting close to the perfect gift because it's something that they can use now. The third thing is it has to fit. It has to fit. It has to be appropriate. You had to think it through. Now, women are better than men with that when they go shopping. When they go shopping, they think of everybody they know and say, "Oh, this will fit Susie. I got to tell Susie that this is over here at Bloomingdale's." Or they match people up with the thing. Men don't really do that so well, but women do. They think, is the gift appropriate? Oh, Susie would really like that because she loves pink. And you see that? Now, if you know Susie doesn't like pink, you wouldn't buy that for her because you know her. You thought it through. It fits. When you were little, you got the Tonka truck And you thought that was fantastic because the back went up and it really dumped things and you would run around. You're in the backyard dumping out the stuff out of the truck, right? And now your sister, she got a baby doll. And she was excited when she got that baby doll. And I remember my sister getting a baby doll and you'd think it was a real thing. She opened it, pulled it out of the box, and she started hugging that thing like it was real living baby in her mind or imagination. Wow, that's what she was thinking. And so does it fit? Now, today everything is messed up, and they want to give Bobby the baby doll, and they want to give Susie the dump truck. I don't understand that, because everything is messed up because God is not in his rightful place. When the sun is not in the center of the solar system, all the planets would collide or race out into space. It's the sun that holds everything together. And in your life and in my life, there came a time when we were no longer in darkness or the kingdom of darkness, where suddenly we realized Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, he's the Son of the moral universe. And when he is in his rightful place, all of the planets, all of the moons, all of the rings are in their right place in their life. And people everywhere who are living in chaos and in confusion and having their lives fall apart, you know who I'm talking about. Somebody you know, some a friend or a relative. The problem is God is not where he's supposed to be in his rightful place. And there was a time when I was like that and you were like that and we didn't know. And then Jesus Christ suddenly reveals himself to us and the Holy Spirit convicted our hearts that we needed him. And everything came in order. And so you, even being evil, now that word evil there in Matthew 7:11, it really isn't evil, evil. The devil is evil, evil. It's like having an evil eye. And also in the New Testament, that means it doesn't work right. It's not 20/20. It's not working at its peak. And so evil here means you being imperfect know how to give good gifts to your children. And so you being imperfect, think about Johnny, you think about Susie, what they're like, what they like. And you try to fit the gift that'll give them the wow and give them the now and something that fits. You don't give Bobby a dress. You don't give Susie a welder's helmet. It doesn't fit the person. And so there's some wisdom involved. Number four, it's something that's useful. You remember a few years ago, people spending money and buying a pet rock to give to their friend, thinking it's maybe funny. What is it? It's a pet rock. What does it do? It doesn't do anything. It sits there. It's your pet. And people actually gave as gifts for Christmas their brother or sister a pet rock. What does it do? It doesn't do anything. And so that's not a perfect gift. And so you want something that is going to be useful. Also something that is needed. If you have 10 bicycles and somebody gives you another bicycle, you know, you say, well, thanks, you know, appreciate it. Put it in my collection. But if you don't have a bicycle and you need a bicycle, you know what I'm talking about. You go, wow, got a bicycle. And that we're getting close to a perfect gift. And of course, a gift that is lasting. I gave you a little gift this morning with some of my poems for Christmas. The greatest gift of all the presents I gave or got, some remain, but most do not. Some wore out, some outgrown, gave some away and no longer own, took some apart, and some I busted, left some outside until they rusted. Some were stolen, some I lost, some fell out of fashion, and so were tossed. But the greatest gift, thought or conceived, was God's Son and Savior I received. This greatest gift can't be exceeded, and exactly what this sinner needed. God gave the greatest gift, the perfect gift. And if you receive Jesus, that's what you received. I received a lot of Christmas gifts, and I'm going to be 80 this summer. I can't believe I'm going to be 80 this summer. That's a lot of ties. I accumulated a lot of ties. If there was some way to cash them in, and to turn them, you know, we would do well. But, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of gifts. And you remember opening it up and you go, wow, thank you so much. A tie, you know. And you hung it with your other ties. And I don't know where those gifts went, most of them. Really. And like I said, some of them I broke immediately before New Year's. Some I lost. Some got stolen. I had a bicycle that got stolen. And beautiful bike. Hope they enjoyed it. But I didn't have it anymore. Some things just went out of style. Some things no longer fit. And you think about all the gifts that you received. But when I received the Lord Jesus, I received the perfect gift, which Isaiah describes. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful. That's the wow factor. Wonderful. Wonderful. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Jesus is called the unspeakable gift. There's no words that can really, except wow. Wonderful. And you and I know, once we have met Him, who is wonderful, that He's given us this book of books that is filled with answers to everything you've ever wondered. Where you came from, why you're here, why you're going, what's going on in the world, what's the matter with people? Everything you want to know, the answer is right here in God's Word. It answers all of the wonders of the world. But the greatest wonder of wonders was when 2,000 years ago, God Almighty took upon Himself flesh and became one of us. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul says that He gave Himself. You and I know that God the Father sent the Son into the world to die for us, and so He could fill us with the Holy Spirit so we would be with Him forever, because we were broken. And the only way to fix us was with Jesus taking our place at Calvary and dying for our sins. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In the fullness of time, that's the hour. God sent His Son, that's the power. Made of a woman, that's the nativity. Made under the law, That's the captivity. That he might redeem. That was the ministry. Us that are under the law. And that we might receive. That's the charity. The adoption of sons. That's the family. This perfect gift changed us and made us a new creation and a part of the family of God. And we can't get over it. Wonderful. Counselor. He is wisdom personified. He is wisdom itself. And he comes into our life and he offers us his wisdom. Wonderful counselor. The mighty God is powerful. No batteries necessary. God comes in with all of his strength and all of his power. Mighty and everlasting. All of those gifts that you've gotten are gone, or they're in the pawn shop already, in the secondhand store. You lost them, they broke, they got stolen, they perished in the fire. But there is one gift that is eternal, and no one can take it away. And God has given himself to us with that promise and with that seal that he will be with us forever. What happened in a stable 2,000 years ago should stagger imaginations of every soul below, that the God who made the universe should make himself so small and lay helpless in a manger in a paltry shepherd stall, should cause each creature stop and pause in wonder and in awe, to ponder what would be the cause or what this coming's for, and why so weak and little this God who made the stars to a world so broke and brittle and so filled with battle scars, and why on earth the infinite an infant should become and come to earth so desolate when to death all must succumb. The answer is eternal, and before the time began, in love the Logos uttered what was God's eternal plan, that God should send a Savior without a sword in hand to destroy death in his dying. Only faith can understand. If God was there at Bethlehem and his glory all around, then nothing is too hard for him wherever faith is found. And though the world reject him and no room within the inn, faith welcomes and accepts him to watch an awesome life begin. What a gift. When I received Jesus and I got up off my knees asking him to come into my life and my heart, immediately I had a peace that passes all understanding. Now, some people, it's the spiritual fruit of love immediately. John Wesley, that was his experience, love. Somebody else, they have such a joy. That's the first fruit that welcomes them into their new life. For me, it was peace. And it was as if I finally took that gift that God has been holding out to me for 21 years. And the Holy Spirit saying, this is for you. And I've received him by faith, and I received a peace that passes all understanding. And as if I said, Lord, just what I always needed, peace. And I wanted to give God something. And what do you give someone who has everything? and makes everything. I gave him myself. And that's what Paul talks about in Romans 12. I gave him myself. And it was almost as if I heard the Lord of glory say, just what I've always wanted. And he did. Just what I always wanted. That's why Jesus came. Because he wanted you. He wanted me. Just what I always needed. Thank you, Lord. And God says, good. Just what I always wanted. The greatest gift the world has ever known. The Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the unspeakable gift. Help us, Lord, to not only open that gift when we open our hearts, but help us, Lord, to be using those gifts and the grace and the power and the joy that you've given us to be witnesses for you during these dark times and in this difficult world. I pray that you'd use this assembly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.